Hey guys, this is Kevin Cann with Boston Strongcast. Today I'm joined by local lifter, Chrissy Parakia. Hi, Chrissy.
Hi, how are you doing?
Hey, so we'll start things off. Give us a little background about yourself. How long you've been lifting, how many meets you've done, what got you into powerlifting, and even if you want to let us know what you do for work and stuff like that.
All right. I am 29. I've been powerlifting since last April. I had my first meet in June of last year in Vermont. And then I had my second meet was regionals and then nationals. And I just competed at the Arnold's.
Awesome. What got you into powerlifting?
I suffered a back injury doing strongman. I started up strongman last year. And I figured powerlifting was a good route to go after that injury, just because everything with form and stuff like that, you can regulate yourself a little more. So made the switch to that. Yeah.
So take us through your first meet back in June.
So I was brand new, you know, getting used to the rules and everything like that. It was me and my training partner with our first meet up there. And unfortunately, my coach ended up getting sick the night before and wasn't able to go to the meet. So it was just me and my training partner kind of faking it until we made it type of thing.
So you're getting on the platform. You're about to take your first ever squat in a competition. Were you nervous?
A little bit. But after that first one, you know, you get over that nervous jitters and everything was smooth sailing after that.
You obviously did pretty good in June because you qualified for nationals at that meet?
Yes.
Okay. And then what made you want to do regionals right after? I mean, you had June, and then regionals was in August, and then nationals was in October. Seems like a very quick back-to-back-to-back for meets. Were you just trying to get some experience competing or?
Just get some more experience, and then my coach suggested it to do it before nationals just because it was a bigger stage. The meet up in Vermont was only like 25, 30 people.
Okay.
So it was very low-key, nice introductory meet, but it was nothing compared to what I was going to see being prime time at nationals.
All right. So yeah, let's hit up nationals next. So you're prime time. Kind of go through what that was like, because that was like your first big stage meet.
It was pretty crazy. You know, you follow these people on IG and you try to like watch what they're doing on their training. Then you see them in real life and you see if they're smaller than you thought, taller than you thought. And it was just kind of overwhelming a little bit. And then once you do weigh-ins, you kind of say hi to people. Kind of get over those nerves. You know, you see Jen Milliken for the first time and you know she's, you know, strongest woman in the world pretty much after last year's Worlds. It's a little intimidating. Fangirl a little bit, and then you kind of have to get over it and get back to work. But you know, got that tunnel vision after weigh-ins and kind of almost blacked out the entire meet.
Yeah, but you did pretty well.
Yeah.
So what were your best lifts at nationals?
Best lifts. I did 314 on squats, 176, I think something like that on bench, and then 391 on deadlifts. So not as good as June, but
that qualified you for the Arnold's.
Yes. Yep.
Okay. So October to March. So 5 months later. You switch coaches at this point, correct?
Yes.
Okay. So how did your training change from nationals leading up to the Arnold?
A lot more bench, a lot more using pauses for squats and deadlifts, just variations to help me with my form. You know, not as much accessory work, but it was a whole lot of volume in the beginning, and I was not a big fan of it.
So frequency-wise, before nationals, how many days a week were you squatting, benching, and deadlifting?
I was squatting 2 days, deadlifting 2 days, benching 3 days.
Okay, and so did your frequency increase?
My bench frequency increased.
How many days do you bench?
I bench 4 days a week now.
Okay. All right. That's almost double. It is double, right?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no, yeah. 2 to 3 times, 4 times. So your volume increased in all 3 lifts after nationals?
Yes.
If you had a guess on how much of an increase it was, what would you say?
Oh, I don't even know.
Just ballpark.
I'm not sure. I mean, it's just, oof. I mean, I kind of coached myself through part of my nationals prep. So it was just a whole different ballgame signing in with Eric, and he's switched around tweaked my form, especially with bench, a ton. So we did a lot of light work just to try to get that arch down, especially because my leg drive was not there beforehand. So it was a lot of just tweaks.
So what were some of the things that he changed on the bench press?
Getting higher on my shoulders, bringing my heels back, switching from wrestling shoes to lifters was big.
So getting a bigger arch was basically the primary goal.
And then we did a lot of work for lats, especially with accessories.
What kind of exercises?
You know, like lat pull down, rows, that type of thing.
Okay, so like building a bigger back at the same time?
Yeah, chin-ups, pull-ups, just a whole lot of core and upper body work.
All right. I mean, it's even more jacked than you already are.
Trying to.
So you had a conversation with Eric, and he said that there were some things that you need to work on the squat and the deadlift as well?
Not so much on deadlifts. Mostly we did a lot of stuff for squats. We knew that it would carry over enough to my deadlift. So
okay. So what were some of the technique things that you were working on with squats?
Just really focusing on keeping my knees out, keeping my chest proud. I have the tendency, especially because I low bar, kind of fold over a bit. And luckily I have a strong back that I can kind of good morning it back up. But he wants me to stay upright more, really fight through it, get my glutes activated faster, all that type of stuff.
I mean, basically, like, you know, those are technical issues that most beginners have. And you haven't really been doing this that long. Like, you have a big foundation of strength, you know, to build upon. And, like, that little bit of technique work, I'm sure, will go a long way.
So, oh, yeah.
What kind of variations were you guys using to fix that issue on the squat?
High bar and safety bar.
Okay.
Pause work, yeah.
How much of your program is made up in variations?
It depends on what kind of block I'm doing.
Say we're in that off season right after nationals, you just had the conversation with them. Is it more than 50% is the variation?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
And does that variation stay in throughout the entirety of, you know, the off season up through like a peaking block, or does it go away a few weeks before competition?
It depends. I'm not totally sure because this is the first time I've really had an off season.
Oh, right, right. Yeah, good point, because you're right back into it after nationals.
Yeah, so I mean, I haven't been with them long enough to know exactly what we're going to be doing.
Were you guys doing a lot of variations leading up to the Arnold?
Yeah, especially the first block or so.
Okay. And then
we switched back over when we got closer, especially when we started the peaking, we dropped all that other stuff.
And just straight up comp lifts.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. You got to practice the sport, right?
Exactly.
So before nationals, were you just doing a program that had very little variation in it? It was mostly just competition lifts, or were you getting primarily your volume through accessory work?
We're doing mostly competition lifts, a little variation, but we dropped, it was just pauses. It wasn't switching to high bar or using the safety bar or anything like that. So it was mostly just competition lifts and kind of hammering on form a bit.
So now that you're doing more like variations and stuff, do you think that they're not think, but like, how does it feel going through those variations in terms of attempting to correct your technique? Like for me personally, I feel like some of the variations that I've gotten from my coach have like just made things click over time, like really helped push my technique forward and stuff. Do you kind of have similar experiences?
I mean, they're definitely making me stronger, especially things like pause deadlifts. My hack has gotten so much stronger from that. I feel like I can lift any, like get stuck at any position and still get it up, just because of how strong everything has gotten. And same thing with like bench with spotto press, that's helped me keep tight through the entire like everything. The variation has helped me all over.
Yeah, I found that actually the Spoto press, especially with a lot of people who that last like 2 inches before the chest, they just kind of like dump it on their chest. And they have that hard time like getting it going again. That works really well. Plus just like building mass, like especially as a female lifter, it becomes a little bit more difficult sometimes. And those, I feel the Spoto press works. Like we do it with the feet up so they even get like larger range of motion. I do really like that one. What's your next competition?
I'm trying to figure that out now. Right now I'm looking at nationals, but I want to try to find something a little in between. But up here, it's kind of tough. There's the one in beginning of June, and then there's not really any locally in Massachusetts until regional. So I'm trying to see how far I want to travel, but I might be going up to upstate New York.
So you've had a couple coaches along your, I guess, relatively short journey.
Yes.
Do you have any advice for not even just newer lifters, but any lifters out there on what to look for in finding a good coach?
I mean, a big thing for me would be making sure you and your coach have similar goals in mind, especially short-term and long-term. Because if you're not on the same page about stuff, then I feel it could hinder things and make the relationship really rocky. You know, really focusing on a coach that's going to teach you along the way, not just your technique and form, but also why you're doing a certain, you know, exercise in your programming and how it's going to help you fix this and that type of thing. I like being on the same page and the fact, like, I want to learn along the way as well. I don't want to just be one of these athletes that follows blindly.
And I think in terms of like buy-in, I think you're right. It's extremely important for any athlete success, no matter what the sport is. And I literally just had Nick Gadis on the podcast, and he works with Hanny from the Strength Athlete. And that was one of the, like, the biggest things he was talking about, like those like weekly conversations that he has with his coach about why they're doing certain exercises and what they're trying to fix, and like making it that like symbiotic relationship seems to be, I mean, obviously the Strength Athlete, like they have a lot of good lifters. They have great stuff. Like, and I think you're right. I think that whole communication and buy-in and explaining why is huge. And like, you know, I had said this on another podcast, but like recent studies have even shown that like when you're training, it actually lights up that psychological portion of your brain first. So how you feel about something is actually part of your strength. So if you don't buy into a program itself, like it's probably going to hold you back. That's probably why, like, you know, one program will work for one person and they're all about it, and another, that same program could work, you know, for a similar athlete is not working as well. And it might just come down to that whole buy-in piece. And I think empowering, you know, your athletes to do that stuff, I think it goes further than just having them lift weights, like you said.
Yep.
How long have you been working with Eric?
Since mid-November, right before Thanksgiving.
Okay, so you've got a decent time with him under your belt, and you know it's the start of a good relationship. I'm sure it'll only continue to get better.
Exactly.
As you go over time. So you go to the Arnold and you had the meat of your freaking life at the Arnold. What do you think was the difference between nationals? Not that you did poorly at nationals, but you did much better at the Arnold. What do you think is the difference between those two meets in that short amount of time?
Preparation, like psychologically and physically. Just, I had a ton of support from the gym in general and all my friends and family, but just knowing that I had a coach and a plan and we had everything laid out before. We knew what our goals were. We were on the same page with stuff, and not letting the Arnold itself get in my head, because I can be a little bit of a head case sometimes.
Yeah, you're a power lifter. Everybody's a head case.
And, you know, walking into that place and just seeing all the people and all the different vendors and stuff, and then seeing these like huge name athletes is just, it's really overwhelming. So it's just kind of, you know, getting in, getting your wristbands and all that, And then like taking a deep breath and be like, okay, now we're here to work. You're going to be fine. You've prepped better. This is your best prep you've ever had for any competition. Like you did all you could do. So let's just get to work. And after I did that, I was okay. But yeah, it was nuts.
how do you think competing at the Arnold compares to competing at Nationals? Because they're vastly different environments.
Oh, it's totally different. Like the Arnold feels like you're going out to a party. Nationals is a little like more like high school dance style, you know, like they're totally opposite.
That is a perfect explanation. But like I can imagine lifting at the Arnold, like just being there as a coach and watching some of the big lifts drop, the loud music, the way the lighting was, like my adrenaline was even spiked and I'm not even lifting. So like being able to control that as an athlete on that stage, that's not that easy.
No.
You know, and to be able to do that in a very short amount of time, because you've basically only had, you know, that one big stage meet before.
Yep.
That's pretty impressive.
Thank you. Yeah, it was nuts. And then, you know, you see people like Ray Williams that you like idolize and big dude, nicest guy around. Like it was nuts.
I mean, something about like being around that too as a lifter, like it's got to get you fired up to put on a show.
Oh yeah. It was great.
Let's say for newer lifters. So we actually have a group of brand new, there's six of them competing April 8th in their first ever meet.
Oh, that's cool.
So if you could give them some advice on competing, I think they'd like to hear some of that.
Trust the process in your programming and coaching that you've had leading up to the meet. And remember, everyone's always nervous. If you weren't nervous, then you don't care enough about the sport to be competing, at least in my opinion. And just remember, once you get that first squat down, all the nerves go away. And you just got to remember that you've done this all before 1,000 times in the gym. There's no reason why you can't do it right now.
It's actually my favorite part of first meets is how scared everyone is in the beginning. And then by the end, everyone's having a good time.
Oh, yeah. Especially come on deadlifts. I love the deadlift party at the end of the meet.
Exactly. So you took a little bit of time off. So after the Arnold to take a little break from all the competing that you've been doing, you're starting to get back into it now. What's the focus of your training currently?
Lots and lots of volume. It's hard right now. I hate volume so much, but I mean, we're really focusing on just getting stronger. And form down perfect.
Building a little work capacity, some muscle mass, stuff like that.
Oh, yeah. You know, fun times.
Are you guys doing, like, tens and stuff, too? Like Nick was saying that after a meet, he gets tens, like, right away.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, fuck that. I get into this sport to do singles, not
exactly. It's real humbling doing tens.
Oh, my God. Especially, like, you know. I know for me, if I take like a set, it's like, you know, of 9 or 10 or something where the first 3 reps, I'm like, oh yeah. And then rep 4, I'm like, fuck.
Yep.
And then like, it just starts like completely falling downhill. Then I don't even give a shit what it looks like. I just want to get done.
Exactly. And I'm like panting like I just ran like a marathon after it's done.
It's all good for you though.
Yep.
So Chrissy, we'll wrap up here. And let everybody know where they can follow you and see you lift a lot of big weights.
I'm Chrissy Max Power on IG. And that's it.
That's perfect.
All right.
Make sure you guys follow me on Instagram, KWCan, our team, Precision Powerlifting Systems. And I guess people use Facebook too for this stuff. That's what a couple of people have told me, but I'm never even on Facebook.
People still use it?
Yeah. I mean, you can follow me on Facebook too, but I probably won't respond to anything. All right. Stay strong, Boston.